Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version. So then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
It's Friday, and that is great news. It always is, but I feel like there is potential for kind of a fun game. It needs work. I just thought of this like seconds ago that you might be able to enjoy with your friends, like on a Friday night when you're out together and you're Bills fans, you're sports fans. And hey guys, how many Bills receivers can you name? I think could be fun. I think could be fun because there are, you know, the Sal Capaccios of the world who probably can name them all without too much trouble. I don't think I could. I'm looking at his Twitter to find like the depth chart thing he sometimes has pinned, you know, with the latest update on this.
Yes, right.
But might have to use Our Lads as I can't find it. So I just wrote down 9, but that's not going to be everybody.
9's pretty good.
9's pretty good. Yeah, I just wrote down 9 Bills wide receivers.
Let's see, Davis and Diggs are gone.
Oh, you scared me for a second because I thought maybe I missed 2. No, that's right.
Now, this feels like a dare. Now I feel like I got to get 9.
Can you name 9 Bills receivers?
Okay. Chase Claypool.
1.
Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
See, my methodology is I'm working
alphabetically
backwards from current to most recent. Mac Hollins.
Yep.
Curtis Samuel. Khalil Shakir.
5.
Justin Shorter.
Yep.
Andy Isabella.
Yeah, I just thought that was the last one I wrote.
Did I say Shorter already?
I think so.
Okay. There's a Shavers.
That one I didn't write.
Shavers.
There's a Shavers.
Yeah, Shavers. Terrell Shavers, I think. Shavers. I know this because Bean mentioned him in the context of responding to a question about not double dipping at receiver in the draft. And he talked about like Shorter's redshirt year and they liked Shavers last year and he's here, he's been in the system, yada, yada.
Hmm.
I didn't say Isabella yet, did I?
You did.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I'm at 8.
You're at 7. Well, you're at 8 with Shavers.
Okay.
Right. There's 2 more that I wrote down. We're naming Bills receivers. It's not quite Saber Rando, but it's a little bit the same right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Guys that you're a very avid, can't be very avid. You're an avid fantasy player and you go to waivers, you're somebody that you care, you spent good money on your fantasy team, you go to waivers, you know, maybe even every day to try to make plans. Who's out there? And like most of these guys, you would never think twice about. You would never pick them up. You'd never put a bid in on on Mac Hollins unless you're in really bad shape. So that's not everything. That's just one way of looking at it. That's a little bit Saber rando. The wide receiver room is a little bit like the pre-Eichel Sabres. Not that they have to be bad. I'm not saying, I don't mean to say that they're bad. I just don't know what I've got. I've got a bunch of slot receivers. I've got two tight ends that get paid and have draft capital. I don't know what I've got. Chase Claypool, maybe. It's funny. I was late here. I was golfing with Bulldog, right? That's my excuse. So sort of a little bit later than I would like, sort of getting organized today. Claypool broke. We were on the seventh hole or something. And so I sit down and go to Twitter, and I just kind of want to see what's said, what's out there on Claypool. You see, there's another game you can play. You see the account, and you know what it's going to say, right? Like, you know the accounts are going to tell you, like, why not? It's worth a shot. Right. You know what those accounts are.
The ones that are going to
every
say,
time.
What are you doing?
And the other ones, you know,
right,
are going to make fun of it.
You know what was a fun game for me? Seventh hole, you think, maybe? That when you told me? Whatever. Maybe halfway, whatever. Every time I thought about it for the rest of the round of golf, this is embarrassing. I could not think of his first name.
Oh, really?
Like, you said they signed Claypool. I'm like, great. We had a couple of, you know, exchanges about it, and I'm walking away from you. In my head, I'm going, it's not Les Claypool. That's the bass player in Primus. It's not, and all I had was Les Claypool stuck in my head for no reason at all. I don't even really like Primus, but, like, that's...
Wow.
You said Claypool to me. My brain went, Les Claypool. And that was all I was struggling to comprehend that the dude was not named Les Claypool. And I knew he wasn't, but I couldn't. And I was walking away from you after we finally got done to my truck, and I went, Chase Claypool,
Chase.
Idiot.
Yep.
Who's the guy? They signed a guy this week. I'm still playing over here.
Good.
The Lions guy, the gambling, right. Cephas.
Quintez, right? Cephas.
Okay. There's another one.
Also on waivers in your fantasy league.
Yeah.
Has been, but maybe now he's the ticket.
And what else? KJ Hamler.
KJ Hamler.
I'm done.
Same. Hamler, Hollins, Cephas, even Samuel, even Claypool, absolutely Isabella. Six of these guys are like the classic, no. If I lose this week, I'm eliminated. I need somebody, and it's a good league, and sort of these are the names. And you got to decide which of these guys, or if you're a DFS bro, you know, these are like the min salary guys, and which one of the... Hollins has had a game or two like this. Maybe they all have. Claypool had a 4-touchdown game when he was a rookie for the Steelers. You know, if you have those guys, when that happens in your lineup, then you win money.
You can, unless you keep them in your lineup, and they never do that
again.
Yeah,
you can't then, never use them the next week.
Right, you gotta just
never
get while the getting's good.
Never double back on Mac Hollins.
All right, I've now gone to the depth chart, and there's a gentleman by the name of Brian Thompson listed here as a receiver.
Brian with a Y?
Yes.
Why did I guess that?
And that is the only name that we haven't mentioned.
Okay, well, so pretty good.
I think 11 guys here. And I think we got 10, I think.
I also told Bulldog on the golf course, I promise you the whole day will not be us talking about the golf course because I don't want to say everything about what happened out there. I am spent.
It's been a while since our hero has walked 18 holes, folks.
Yeah. No exercise. Yeah. You know, I'm losing this weight. It showed.
And you forgot what you were saying.
I know. Speaking of spent, I'm proving it.
It's my fault.
No, I said something else to you out there, but I'll go in a different direction here. It will be so interesting. Like, not better, I think. Probably not better, but definitely more interesting how this all shakes out. Because who has any idea? Who has any idea how this... Name a guy. Khalil Shakir. One thing... There's kind of a consensus on it. This why it stands out is that, Shakir is promising. Like he ended up being important. You know, the same accounts that I will predict will tell you how great an idea Chase Claypool is, will point out how Shakir versus Diggs in the last half of the season. You know, they always, everything's great. So, you know, fine though. Shakir, nobody really has a bad word. Tell me what he is. What is Khalil Shakir? Is he going to play outside because Coleman probably shouldn't? Or do the Bills not think that? Does he start? You have Kincaid and Knox. Does Shakir start? I don't know.
He better.
He has to?
I think he has to. So I think he probably will be outside more than I would have expected, given the build of their roster, the Coleman pick on top of Kincaid already. I feel I would want odds for this, but I don't hate Shakir. Like we haven't spent a lot of time on it, but it's come up a few different times. Like you've said, maybe as we went to break, something to maybe talk about, and then we don't ever really get back to it.
This is not a critique.
I'm just pointing. It's come up, and each time it has, I have the same reaction in my head. You'll say something like, Who leads them in targets? Who leads them in receptions this year? Shakir is always the answer I want. And I know that sounds maybe insane because we're talking about a guy that really has, you know, he's been dependable. He catches everything thrown his way, but it's such a small number of, it's just not a big sample size. I just feel like the opportunity is there. And he is as familiar with what they're doing here as anyone is going to be. And I think there is a trust factor there now with Allen. Like I'm going to put the ball near this guy and he's coming down with it. I feel like that could be your leading receiver.
It could. How good is my team if Khalil Shakir is my leading receiver? Like I think that's all like provably right, what you're saying. You know, it's logical. His experience now, he has a couple of years and the Bills have turned over almost everybody else in here since then. But I don't know how good he is. Like he's, you can't know. Really, like you have to guess, because on this team, he was outranked and that didn't need to change. You know, like they didn't need, he's not undeniable. He's not somebody that like, guys, we're doing this wrong.
We got to make room.
We've got to feed Khalil Shakir. Like that never really was needed. But, you know, the league wasn't too excited about him when he was drafted. And that doesn't have to mean anything anymore.
No.
I think he's okay. I'm not trying to fight on this player. I doubt there's like a big year happening for him. I just wouldn't ever expect that, really. But who's above him? To your point.
That's it.
Who's above him? Yeah. Is Curtis Samuel above him?
I really don't think so. I mean, he's been in the league longer, but I don't know. I mean,
rankings. We have Ian Hardis today. This is what I told you on the golf course. Sorry. When I've been trapped and I got to get it out now. I said we have Ian today, and it's like a perfect day to talk to him from Fantasy Life, Fantasy Fridays. We're past the draft. It's the perfect day to talk to him because, like, all right, Ian, you're so smart. You know, I like him a lot. I'm not making fun of him. Let's hear you rank these Bills receivers. Really, like, let's have any fantasy analyst.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a try. Rank them by their value right now for this season. I mean, I don't know who Brian Thompson is as Shavers, and that's maybe Isabella. Like, come on. Like, some of these guys are not, it has to be this way. Some of these guys are not going to be
right
around.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they've got right now 11 guys on the roster. A couple of them probably will potentially end up on the practice squad, but you're keeping six guys probably. There's not going to be room here. And, yeah, I guess what they're hoping is that a guy like Claypool and a guy like Hamler and maybe Isabella to an extent can make it hard for these other guys that, you know, you assume are going to be, you know, entrenched, I guess. I mean, Shakir, Coleman, Samuel, like those guys are on your team. Hollins, I think, is on your team. I don't expect a lot receiver-wise, but I think they like his body type and the worker bee that he is and special teams. So, like, he's on the team. But beyond that, I don't know. Like, who the other? Really, it's two other spots that we're talking about ultimately amongst Claypool and Hamler and Isabella and, you know, whatever, Quintez Cephas.
Shorter,
right? I mean, there's a
shorter high.
I don't know how to. I don't know. I mean, I might stack them almost the way that they're listed here on the depth chart. Shakir, Coleman, Samuel. I don't know, Claypool's listed above Hollins. I don't know that I would do that yet. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be.
Whose depth chart is that?
It's just ESPN.com, which might even be the same as our lads at this point. I don't know if they share, but that's where I went.
But somebody put Claypool in that order. Somebody had to do that.
Yeah. Claypool is second team behind Shakir, like reading, you know, across. So the starter column is Shakir, Coleman, Samuel. The top backup, I guess, is Claypool, Hollins, Shorter. That's the order. But I don't, you know, I doubt that those six are going to be your six.
Not exactly award-winning commentary, but wow, right?
Yeah, right.
This is the Bills now.
Yeah, Claypool is so... What did I say to you when you told me? Like, all this talk about receivers and all this talk about veteran receivers, whether it's a trade idea or a free agent idea, I never thought of Claypool one time. I'm sure I looked at lists that his name was on, and he's been such a just non-existent for... three seasons now? I mean, he's had eight catches between the Bears and the Dolphins last year. Before that, it was 14 maybe with the Bears, or the split between the Steelers and the Bears, whatever. Yeah, he just hasn't done anything in ages after a really pretty dynamic rookie year. I never thought about him one time. I just never thought, like, why would a team want this guy? He doesn't produce, and he seems like he's a headache on top of it. Like, what are we doing here? He doesn't seem a very processy guy to me, but here he is. He's on the Bills. I'm kind of stunned.
It is. We had this conversation too. Someone called in 2 or 3 days ago when we were talking about wide receiver position and are they done? You know, what happens? We talked to Sal about that. It's been kind of the question of the week after the draft, I might say, is, okay, is there going to be another move? And somebody really astutely called in, and what I remember about the phone call was, just bring in all the guys. Just bring in people. Just keep working at it, you know? You're not getting a Diggs replacement, especially post-draft, you know? We'll see what Coleman is. But you can't just do that. You can't afford Deebo Samuel, right? So just bring in, and the names, I mean, no. I mean, Claypool was on my mind, but not always would his name be said. I had the same problem with DJ Chark, who signed with the Chargers, because when I would be reminded of DJ Chark being available, I would always like that. Like, here's somebody down the field, which I don't know who the Bills really have for that, but he's gone. Odell Beckham went to Miami today, so he's gone. We talk about Michael Thomas. We used to talk about Tyler Boyd, who went to Tennessee. And Claypool was like sort of down on that list. There might be somebody now that I'm forgetting.
Yeah, but. I mean, the way I feel about Claypool is I never thought about him one time, and I would say Beckham outranks him, and I didn't want anything to do with Beckham anymore. Like, I thought, like, he didn't really give Baltimore much, I mean, last year. So, like, it doesn't feel like that's Odell Beckham Jr. anymore. Like, the prize that we thought he was a couple of years ago when we were pining for that extra guy. It just never, to me, I don't know, maybe he's finished, maybe he'll get in a better spot. All I'm saying is the Bills signed a guy that didn't even rate enough to be above a guy that I was completely done thinking about as being a desirable candidate.
I want to be more optimistic about Claypool than that, because he is a super athlete. Like, he is somebody who, I mean, I mentioned when Shakir got drafted. Claypool got drafted, but round two.
Like, maybe the first pick of round two, if I...
No, I don't think so, but...
Okay, sorry.
But he is a second-round pick, Notre Dame, right? Like, super athletic, and, you know, I want to be somewhat hopeful for that, but what is the plan, you know? Like, he's the last to arrive, and we just named 10 other receivers, and we can't... Can anyone, with any confidence, really say what they think the pecking order is? This is not even to mention Kincaid, who maybe would be my pick to lead the team in targets. I don't know, but he already had some good number. What did he have? He had 70 catches or something, right?
He had, oh, for cripe's sakes, I closed up my stats page to get the depth chart out. When processing, he caught 73 passes on 91 targets.
So he already had 91 targets, and that should go up, don't you think?
Yes.
Shouldn't that just be like unanimous here? That should go up because there's more to do with him. There's a big investment in him. And so let's go down the field. Seam stretcher. Seam stretcher didn't really happen until almost the end of the season last year, which is another weird thing about all of this. You know, like, okay, here they were a Super Bowl contender last year too, if I remember correctly, before the season. And here's our idea. And they didn't get him going. Like, it was all just dump off stuff. And then they fired the offensive coordinator, who was like the captain of the idea. So
yeah.
I don't know where exactly everybody is on him, but he should be important. He's probably the highest ranking, well, Coleman maybe is now, but right together, asset here of all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get Kincaid's number up, and I also want to get him a deeper average depth of target.
Right.
And so maybe I can't get as many. The catch rate won't be as good, but the targets should still be there. I want to be at 100,
I'd say at least.
At least.
He had 91. Diggs had 160 targets. Davis had 81.
Yeah.
So you got 241 targets that have left. And, you know, you need the list again of the people that have been brought in, but that is a lot. That's a lot to make up. So
Shakir had 45.
You got a bump. You know, Kincaid's going to have to be in the 120s, I think, and then you just go from there. I think. And maybe nobody gets a bigger target share than that.
Do you want James Cook's target share or total to go up from 54?
Not exactly.
I don't know. I don't really need that.
I don't. I mean, I like him as a player. I like how they used him. But I don't need them to throw the ball to running backs more than they have. So if he's around, he had 54 targets, 44 catches, a couple of notable drops that maybe both would have been touchdowns. But like I like him, but I don't need to feature it more. I feel like featuring him more in the passing game would be a bad sign.
Coleman can really tip this if he's amazing. Right away.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I mean, the odds aren't that he will be. It'll take time. Even if he's good, it probably will take some time before you can sort of he can become a regular, reliable option, everything you want from a high pick like that. But he's the one with the ceiling. I don't know if anybody else, well, Kincaid, but apart from the tight end room, really has that much of a ceiling. So unless the Bills disagree with that, and they're planning on tripling Shakir's target share or someone else here like that, you really are looking at a team that will be all kinds of different multiple looks and players and reverses and end-arounds and halfback passes? No, I don't know. I'm not really saying that. I don't know what this is going to be. And when Stephon Diggs and even Davis, you knew right from his rookie season what he was. And he was always that, you know, like there was never really any mystery about him. The questions on Diggs were, is he going to slip as he gets older? And, you know, some would say maybe he did. His production did decline the last 2 years, but I don't know if I think that that's why. But anyway, the point is, obviously, it was so predictable. He and Davis together and this offense, you knew what that was. And, you know, this change is kind of scary. And not subbing out one or both of those guys with comparable style players or level. Samuel, you know, is kind of maybe with Davis or above, I might say. But, you know, different.
Yeah, yeah. I might posit that he's somewhere between Davis and Diggs. Like, in a pecking, like, if I were guys I'd like on my team, mm-hmm. like, Diggs would be right at the top. Davis, you know, I think he served a purpose, but I always wanted them to have a better guy. If they had at any point replaced Davis with Samuel, I know they're very different style players, I would have felt like that was an upgrade. I'm getting someone that can, you know, operate in space, good with the ball in his hands, faster, and maybe is just more of a threat. And Davis was just Davis always felt to me like kind of like a rod hockey player. Like he's in this lane. This is it. He can do this. He can run up and then turn to the right a little bit. And that's it. That's all he's got. Don't try. You can't get him out of that little. He's attached to the board. That's it. That's what he does.
Has the show ever sounded older? Rod hockey.
Bubble hockey.
Checks hockey. Yes. Right. That same point. That works. 803-0550 for your thoughts. Do you have any confidence that you know like how the Bills are going to line up or how they should? Which of these guys is going to really matter? Chase Claypool, maybe? I could listen to it. I'm intrigued. I mean, Claypool has been, here's Fantasy Mike again, like he's somebody, oh, come on, can we just get him in a situation where he gets a chance? And maybe the Bills are planning to give him just that. We'll talk to Ian Harditz today and Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh, our former colleague. I don't think he was always the biggest Claypool fan, but we'll find out live together. Thanks for listening, and maybe you'll want to give us a call. Now would be good. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
Fields well protected. Heaves end zone. It's Claypool. He threaded it through. Touchdown, Chicago.
Chase Claypool. Welcome to the squad. One of now we count 11 wide receivers on the Bills roster. And if you think you know how to rank them based on their importance to the team, their stats this year, anything, we want you to tell us. Speaking for myself, at least, I have no idea. I have no idea. Shakir is probably a part of this. Samuel has to be a part of this with that investment. Kincaid and probably Knox, too. I mean, that probably will look somewhat the same. You know, you have those two guys back is all. And Keon Coleman works his way into this mix, right? The Bills' first draft pick. Maybe he's not a super target earner right away. Maybe that takes time, but there's a big investment in him. And after that, I don't know what they've got. I think they've got a lot of maybes, a lot of guys who have had a couple of good games, you know, in the league and have had maybe, in KJ Hamler's case, a couple of injury setbacks. Claypool seemed to get himself, you know, in trouble with his teams. It sounds like that's happened once or twice.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers, it seemed, couldn't wait to get him out of there. They did great in that trade. That was a second-round pick. That's what it was. It was he got traded for what ended up being the first pick of the second round with the Bears. That's what my confusion was about what pick he was when he was picked in the second round. Anyway, so they exiled, right? Attitude problem, not working hard. Chicago, no production. This is from, you know, 50,000 feet, this view. All right, Chase Claypool, no production. Complaining about how he's being used. Like, it's your fault. I'm not producing. And they gave him away. He went to Miami and did next to nothing. He's the target I believe, on the final Dolphin play, the Taylor Rapp interception that sealed the game, is Claypool. I went and looked at that today because I saw someone reference how he quit on that play. And I wouldn't say that I saw that looking back at the highlight. You know, he was, you know, Rapp had the angle, the better angle to get the ball, and he did. But I saw Claypool, you know, still running the route. But anyway, that's the last time you saw him was week 18 in Miami and the Bills, you know, game sealing interception. So I don't know. I don't know what I've got there. Like that, if he is still just 25 years old and can sort of get over it's your fault, not mine. There is an athlete in there, and maybe if nothing else, like if he hits, he buys you some time with Coleman. Like they are specimen wise, athlete wise, they're, you know, Coleman and he are comparable size wise. Claypool was faster coming out of college, but you know, I don't know what a few years in the league have done to that. So, you know, if he hits, maybe that eases the, you know, I was saying this week quite a few times, it stood out to me how sort of frank Brandon Bean was about the, you know, Keon Coleman's role right away. Like he's a starting X boundary receiver. And to me, that sounds like you're going to play a lot on this team, because Gabe Davis was in a role like that and he played a lot on this team. So maybe this is a thing that buffers that a little bit. Again, if the guy hits, you know, he's got to earn a spot first.
And some scholars are so dubious of that idea, including our guest yesterday, Sam Monson, was it yesterday? Who like just, that doesn't sound like a good plan, Coleman,
right,
in that role. So it makes you wonder if it's even going to be true. Right, because that he might seem miscast if that's what they do. 803-0550. Tony is with us. Hi, Tony.
Hey guys, just some thoughts on the changes in the wide receiver room. And as much as I might want to do this as like an exercise, that's kind of difficult on delay and stuff. So I'm going to assume you might agree with some of this stuff until you don't. All right, I'm going to start with Dalton Kincaid and believe that, you know, his step in year two is probably going to be significant enough to call him an overall better pass catcher, an option for Josh Allen than Gabe Davis. I kind of feel like you guys just did that with Khalil Shakir in the last segment, kind of putting him in between Davis and Diggs as far as production goes. I think you followed it up by putting Curtis Samuel in the same breath a little bit. A better pass-catching option than Gabe Davis. The last piece of that is going to be Coleman. And I think the Bills' expectation, and I don't think it would be wrong for ours, would be that Coleman, as a first-round pick, doesn't take terribly long to become as viable of an option as Gabe Davis. That is four dudes catching the football that are better at it, all right, than your number two option in the heyday of when we all think, you know, this offense flourished the most. I understand I left out Stephon Diggs. I understand I left out the alpha, all right?
Right.
But when I talk about the depth of the guys that came in, I firmly believe that it cancels out whatever you lose in the difference between what the alpha was giving you at the end of last year and what the combination of those four are going to give you. And I expect them to be on the field every bit as much as we've seen wide receivers on the field in the past several years. And probably more so, all right, with Brady than we did when Dorsey tried to, or somebody forced Dorsey to try to, you know, play that 12 or whatever. So that's my take on the pass catchers, fellas. I feel just fine about them.
It's a good challenge, isn't it?
Sounds good, Tony. Forced to use 12 is an interesting way to look at that. What they choose to do about having Kincaid, who now, to me, I guess you'll have to. Well, you already saw it. He had a better year already than Knox has ever had. He's a better pass catching option walking in here as a rookie than Knox has ever been. what do they want to do with Knox and Kincaid? Like, how much Knox is being paid? Does that mean I have to have him on the field more with Kincaid? I don't want Kincaid off the field. So what are my choices then? Like, I don't want to give a third of Kincaid snaps to Knox just as a single tight end, I don't think.
Well, they value his blocking, and they should. And Kincaid is not built for that. So my, you know, mantra here lately has been they're going to throw the ball less often. And if that's at all philosophically how they look at it, which they certainly did last year down the stretch, Knox is going to play. And, you know, Kincaid will play too.
Yeah, and all I'm saying is that cuts into how our caller Tony is talking about Shakir playing a lot,
right,
and Coleman playing a lot, and Samuel, and like making up the targets that walked out the door with Diggs and Davis leaving. I'm curious how much of an opportunity the receivers will have to gobble that up. Because if Knox and Kincaid have to be on the field together, that's going to cut into some, one of those dudes' time on the field.
Right. Here's Kevin next. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are you guys?
Fantastic. Thanks.
So how I look at it is basically the receivers you see are what you're going to get. Kincaid and I think Samuel are going to have the bulk of them with Shakir and the rookie and the next two guys down. In regards to the Kincaid and Knox being on the field at the same time, if you put them in 12 personnel, yeah, but when you go to your other personnel, you can have Knox in it as in a blocking tight end, which he excels at, and still have three receivers as your rookie, Samuel and Shakir out there. So I think it's going to be, they're going to have at least 200 plus catch receivers. The rookie should be good for at least 70.
Yeah, I think all of that is really high. Really, really optimistic.
Oh, sorry, 50 to 60.
Okay.
Even that.
If you're looking at rookies, wide receivers now, college offenses are getting better and better, and the rookies are doing better straight out of the gate.
Yep.
You know, every year,
sometimes
multiple rookies that do well.
Yep.
There's more rookies. You know, there might be not a fantasy leader on this team, but I think between all of them, they're going to be more ball-controlled, unfortunately, offense,
right,
take their shots, and, you know, play good defense, and hopefully play that throughout the whole year, and when they get to the playoffs,
win,
able to get to a Super Bowl, playing good defense, and learning how to win those low-scoring games.
Yeah, doing it, right. Thanks, Kevin. Okay.
We went through this, I think, in the run-up or maybe right after the draft. Two of the first-round receivers last year did go over 70, right? Flowers and Addison both went over 70. Johnston was kind of a bust, and Smith and Jigba was in
semi-bust.
The 60s. Like, I don't even remember the
semi-bust.
Number.
Semi-bust.
Yeah.
Almost a bust for as a rookie. Of course, that's just the first round. Puka.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
You know, Rashi Rice later on. Coleman is a second-round pick. I mean, I'm not going to cause trouble with that, but let's remember that he was the eighth receiver picked in this draft. First pick of the second round, yes, but not exactly a first round pick. And I don't say that to be, you know, difficult. It's just there are connotations with that stuff. That's why people drop it into their arguments. You mm-hmm. know, like, he's a first round pick. He wasn't really expected to be. Some thought he could have been,
right,
even deserved to be. It was close, as close as it gets. But it just, the connotation there means something a little bit different.
It's very possible if Carolina doesn't call with a trade for the Bills at 32 after they'd already traded with Kansas City that he was a first-round pick. But he wasn't. It just, you know, it's a statement of fact.
Yes. And that is an interesting thing to analyze. You know, like, we've talked so much about what the Bills did that night. And I don't know, like, on one hand, if you're the GM, and I want to preface this by saying, who knows if Brandon Bean cares about any of this. He may not. Some guys would. If you're the GM, the first round.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Pick, you know, there are sort of logistical differences, fifth-year option, more money, but also more pressure. It's more on Bean that the guy produce. Like, he's a first-round pick, right? Kincaid was picked in the first round. He's got to produce. He's got to play. Sort of the obligatory aspects of that. Second-round pick, you have less of that. I know it's just semantics. It's literally one pick later. But it does sound different, you know? And I think in some ways it's better for Bean if, you know, that this isn't a first-round pick. You know, there's just less scrutiny on how well he does. Of course, if you give a pick in the second round and the guy's great, then everybody loves it even more.
Yeah.
Because he was, what a steal. Then he's a steal.
If the pass catching thing doesn't take off, get the guy a video podcast and just let him talk. Let him read fan mail, like answer questions from fans. Because did you see this clip that's making the rounds of him talking to them at the combine?
No.
Holy cow.
I didn't.
What do you do with your spare? Zach, you must have it. I'll save it. It's so good. It's just so good. We'll get that for you when we come back. I think on the rejoin. So.
Okay. Ian Hart, it's coming up at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
I ain't no golf. I'm Tiger Wish he could. I'm not Tiger Woods. I wish I could put it through all that. Them boys out there shooting 5 under. I ain't doing all that. I'm like, TV 5 just to put it in. But I'm going to go have fun. Like, it's controlled chaos. You know, you frustrated, but you can't get mad. Pull a muscle in your back trying to hit the ball. So it forces me to stay calm and just swing. Just have some fun.
Could have used some of that advice earlier today.
Tiger wish he could?
Yeah.
Not Tiger. You got that in the holster ready to go? Like, that.
Did you hear it somewhere or did you? I've never heard it.
I never heard it either. I couldn't have loved it more. I saw that last night and I was just like, come on, dude. You got to be good. Please be good. You seem like such a cool dude. Please be good.
Keon Coleman. So what was the setting?
That was the combine interview. So there's like sort of a U-shaped table, and I see McDermott and Bean and other people who I don't recognize, you know, by face, but I'm assuming it's scouting staff and player personnel people, etc. And he walks in and sits down, and it's pretty informal. I've seen those before. This is the setting where Pete Carroll took his shirt off with DK Metcalf a few years ago. It's like this is that type of meeting.
The team releases it then.
Yeah, yeah. So they asked him, there's a few parts of it. There was one where he talked about studying film to figure out like what the linemen are doing and how really interesting mind. I thought what he answered the football stuff. And then they asked him, what do you do for fun? Like, what do you do away from football? And he said something about like, you know, hang around the house, do a little bowling, and I golf. And then somebody says, like, are you any good? Like, oh no, I'm not Tiger Wood. I'm Tiger Wishy Could, or however he said that. Just so good. So really, the guy's he's having a charming week here, I would say, since we have gotten to know him as a Buffalo Bill. The stuff we've seen, interview stuff, I think he has smashed out of the park. So I hope he can play.
Are they going to release the Xavier Worthy interview? Mm. Or has that already been?
I have not
deleted and buried. It's already been scrapped. Everybody they didn't pick. Yeah, that's fine. I like his personality, like everybody else. It seems he'll be fun to hear from Coleman. The Amerks. Yesterday we talked to Kevin Oklubja from the arena in Syracuse. They lose in double overtime. 60 saves. For Devin Levi, who has done really well in Rochester. Their season, they have to win their next two now to keep their season alive. And Kevin didn't sound especially optimistic for them. Of course, these are all super close games. You know, that double overtime speaks for itself.
I did not watch this game, but I was watching the Leafs and the Bruins last night. And but I was sort of tracking it on Twitter, and the whole night sounded like Rochester just could not break through, get like any sort of offense going. They just had a real tough time. And it sounds a lot like how we talked with Kevin about last year, bigger, older team in Hershey knocked him out last year. And I asked him, is Syracuse kind of more like that? And he said, yeah, and especially they got a couple of guys back because Tampa got eliminated. So that game sounded like that game. Like, just you can't get to my net. You can't get to where you need to get to score, and, you know, good luck to you. And so Levi kept him in it, you know, double overtime. You know, it says it all. 60 saves. Holy cow.
Was it on somewhere? You could have watched it?
I think, like, there's an AHL TV thing that you can stream. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Bandits tonight are in Toronto. This is a best of three semifinal series. Toronto was the top team in the regular season this year. The Bandits are the defending champions. Those games are incredible. I mean, they're super close usually and rough and everything. It's just really good entertainment, I would say. And game two is in Buffalo on Sunday. But the opening game of that series is tonight, and it'll be on after our show.
All right.
Ian Harditz, Fantasy Life. What do you want to do, Ian Harditz, with these receivers? We'll talk to him about Keon Coleman, the Bills' continuously growing crop of receivers with the addition of Chase Claypool today, and other topics. Andrew Filippone joins us in the 6 o'clock hour to talk about Claypool. And with Andrew, there will definitely be other topics. That's just always the case, which I think is good. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back with Ian Harditz after the update on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.